money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I don't know. Maybe you and Ray should just talk money today.
Oh my goodness, that's quite the way to start. I don't even know what to say.
Yes, I'm ready to talk money.
Ready to talk money. Because Ray and I could do it, then it would be Let's Talk Money with Ray and Dave.
Yeah.
But you just add so much to the show.
Oh, well, thanks, dear.
We hear the feedback. Thank you for joining the show. And you always say, we love Reb. We love that. And I won't say all the things that you say about it that you love about Reb, but
thank you very much.
So welcome to the show. This is the show where we talk about the hard issues around money. If you're a first-time listener, you've never heard, then lots of ways to listen to many other episodes. So you can listen, obviously, on morethanenough.ca, chri.ca, and notmine.ca, which is Ray Borg. We have you on the show today, and that's where your home is on the internet. And we're thankful that we can share the information on there. And of course, your favorite podcasting platform. Whatever that is, we hope that you can find us, search us, Let's Talk Money with Dave and Reb, and you'll find us there. And of course, we're on YouTube. So all of those spots, look up shows. You can look them up by title. You can look them up by guest. And of course, today, Ray, we get to say a special thank you to you because Not Mine is sponsoring today's show. So notmine.ca, maybe give us a little bit of what can people expect when they get to the website?
Well, there on the website, you'll find a manifesto that just kind of describes our heart in terms of looking at the relationship we have with money and how that might affect our relationship with Jesus. There's a blog that I put out typically once a month. The podcasts are all posted there. Mm-hmm. There's some resources as well, including Reb's book and opportunity to ask any questions or anything that you would like us to address in that subject. So.
Great. Thank you very much. Good.
Thanks.
So check it out, notmine.ca. And there's lots of great resources there. So,
all right. So we have an interesting topic today, actually, that has got, I don't know about your gears, you guys, but it's got my mind really thinking. I was just thinking while we were praying before the show about a story that I wanted to share. So when I was in high school, I went for 4 years to a private Christian school. I was on the basketball team and we played in a certain league. And my girlfriend was a really great guard. She could shoot from outside and we just gave her the ball all the time. And then, and that led to a lot of victories. I mean, she wasn't the only one who got points, but she was very good. Then we both went for grade 13 back then, back in the day when there was grade 13, we went to the public school up the road and, we played in a different league. We actually ended up going to OFSA, but it was really interesting because her style of play was not the kind of style that this coach was asking us to play, in this other league. Mm. And I would say it was more not so individually driven, but my girlfriend didn't start anymore. She wasn't the starting five. And I actually got in the starting five. And that was not the norm. It flipped her on her head because she wasn't used to this other way of playing the game. And So I tell that story because we want to take a look today at the game we're playing, how we're playing that game. And especially as married couples, I think in this season, we can make assumptions because this has actually got me thinking about what are my goals financially? What are David's? And are we is point B the same for us? And how are we getting there? Because we're very different people. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, am I playing the financial game as an individual, or are we doing this together? You know, there's a lot of things we want to bring up today, because I read this newsletter from our friend Rebecca Southerns, and Rebecca, she is a professional. She came on the show a couple of years ago to talk about adaptability. And it was during the COVID season, and how adaptable are we, and what are the obstacles to that? So she, I'll put some of her information in the show notes, but she had sent a newsletter out talking about this idea specifically, that she loves to play games. And sometimes when she's going into a situation, she's like very individually driven, but sometimes that's not the right mentality to bring into the game, especially in a workplace, let's say, where right. you're coming into the team meeting and you've got your ideas and it's more individually driven, but the team is actually needing collective answers. Like, you need to be more moving forward. Like, I see that picture in rugby, I guess, or mm-hmm. football, whichever one you're called, not Canadian football, but, you know, the British, like the rugby game, where you're literally moving as this huddle down the field. And it just got me thinking when I read it, that when she sent it out this week, she says this: I realized that I'd been showing up to play a collective game when others in that same community were playing an individual game. And that's when things get tricky. Not life-threatening, but I take it as a good reminder that even if a game can be interpreted both ways, it helps for everyone involved to be explicit about which way it's actually being played. Otherwise, you risk understanding your win quite differently. Or I would say you're not going to get the win. or you're going to have conflict and division getting there. So I don't know. I have all these thoughts about that this morning. And Ray, you were thinking about some scripture. We actually were thinking about the oxen and, you know, being yoked and moving in the same direction and doing that together, not pulling. But we, for the life of us, couldn't find the verse that Dave was thinking of. And we all think it's in there. Well, maybe I don't think
it's in Mark 20. Is it in Mark 20?
I don't know.
You can go look up Mark 20.
Yeah, in other words, Mark 20 doesn't exist. So anyway, but Ray found some great other verses yes. for us this morning.
From Ecclesiastes 4. It says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a three cord is not quickly broken. Mm.
Why is that significant, do you think, for this conversation?
Well, I think your analogy of the game and what Rebecca provided in that article really struck me, because it's how you play the game together. And as couples, you know, if I reflected on my own journey, I mean, you can still be a married couple, but you can be so self-focused that you actually aren't working together as a team. And in our finances, I think team is really important. And this scripture here talks about two are better than one, and they have good reward for their labor. Because you talked about goals, you know, if we are on the same game and we're not pulling away from each other, but actually coming together and working together, then my likelihood of actually achieving our goal is much more successful, as this scripture talks about, even if we struggle, because we all have moments where we fall in the ditch. But those moments where we help each other and say, you know what, that's okay, let's move on and discover things together.
I think it's even a little bit broader, in the sense that, you know, Reb is so different than I am in how she views life, right? Right. Like, she's a different personality. And I have my view, right? And so let's just use the money example. I might be saying, we need to save money for retirement. Like, we need to put that in. That's good. That's smart. That's, you know. And Rebecca is looking at the world, and she's seeing our kids struggle financially. And she's like, I want to help our kids now,
right?
Both are excellent, good things. But when we then start looking at how are we spending our money, there, if we're not on the same page with both of them, so there has to be a, you know, again, and this is where I love the, we can have a conversation. And in a sense, Reb is going to have some things that I haven't thought of, you know, in terms of how do we do both, or can we do both, or maybe we do. And I'm going to have some things that I'm going to say, well, I've been thinking about it, and what about this, right? And that's where collaboratively and unity begins to come in. And that's what we see in the analogy of the game, right? Different players of the game have different strengths, different weaknesses. Reb, you threw the ball to that player so that she could do what she did really well, and you recognize that. And I think there's something to that, right, in this conversation.
Well, before, I think we need to look at this so we're not like muddled in our conversation. Mm-hmm. So we have to know what the game is, and then we have to know how we're playing the game. So I go back to Rebecca Southern's quote, it helps for everyone involved to be explicit about which way it's actually being played. But sometimes you show up to the table and you want to play like Carcassonne, and I'm like, no, let's play Wingspan. And we're actually playing two different games, and we have to actually reconcile the fact that where are we headed? You've been saying it a lot lately, the new financial coaching video that we have on our, it's not on our website yet, but we've posted on social media. You talk about what financial coaching is, and you're like, it's moving you from point A to point B. But I mean, I know we're speaking directly to couples, especially today, because you want to be moving to the same destination. If you don't have the same destination, if you're not in the same game, that's one thing. But then it's also, how are you playing the game? So I don't know if we want to speak to one and not the other, but it's really important to know what game you're playing. Like, are you and I working towards our retirement savings? Or are we thinking, you know what? What's most important in the next 5 years is helping our kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we have to have those conversations. And we want to encourage people today. I'm like, I'm guessing that's why we're doing the show, right? Please talk, be explicit, like know what game you're playing. And this is so hard because money can be, our behavior around money and our communication around money can be so like volatile and explosive for people. And that's a whole other discussion on how to communicate about money. But we just want to encourage people, like, please, like, Dave and I are having those conversations. Are we going in the same place? Like, you know, as women, or stats show from things we've read and studied, we want some safety. Like, having some money in the bank is a really good thing. And sometimes you, I'll just say you, not men in general, but like, you're more of a risk taker. So like, those things have to be discussed so that we know that we're in the same, we actually want the same things. You know, we do want retirement. We do want to help our kids. Okay, we're good. We're okay. We still, but then there's the, how do we get there? Mm-hmm. So.
And what do you prioritize? Because they're all good goals, but is one over the other? Is this helping the kids now and then delaying saving for retirement? Or do you do it concurrently? I mean, that's what I heard you were talking about is, and I think the other thing that struck me is having the ongoing conversation. Because I think sometimes we think we have a conversation and we walk away thinking we've made a decision, but actually, because men and women process things differently, we actually need to hear each other and give enough space to come back and have the conversation again and pick it up. That actually, there's no assumption to determine that you didn't make a decision at that place, but it's an ongoing, evolving discussion, right?
Well, and I'm thinking about the basketball game, because it depends on who your competition is that day, how they play, how you play, what defensive plan do you have in place, or what offensive plan do you have in place? Like, are you going man to man? Are you doing like the zone defense? Like, it depends on the season you're in, which one you're navigating. And if you have no experience in either, then it gets harder. But it's never too late to learn. I mean, and of course, we're going to throw this in again, because that's, I mean, this analogy is so great. That's what a coach is for,
right?
A coach is going to come in and say, okay, we're playing zone to zone today, or we're playing man to man, because this is what's happening. And you got to get really like, yes, we're going to get in the details. When you're man to man, you're in that guy's face. Like, we're going to get in the details, and you've got to be disciplined. You've got to be tight with the, you know, I'm just thinking basketball. Mm-hmm. Zone is a different strategy, and your coach would financially would help you navigate that together. But anyway, I could go on and on, but I should, because I just love this. I just love this idea.
And I think, again, I'm going to pick up on the game, the basketball metaphor. It's easy to understand. You show up. You are part of a basketball team, right? You know why you are there, right? So, but in finances with a couple, some of those things you actually have to step up, right? You have to go, and this is, I think, what Rebecca Sutherland is saying is this.
Southern, sorry.
Rebecca, the other Rebecca is like I show up and I think I'm playing the game, and then I realize that, no, I'm playing a different game, right? And so, I think in terms of the communication and in terms of creating unity in a couple around finances is really to go, do we both understand that the rules, again, basketball, the game has certain rules. It has certain, you're playing a court. Like, do we understand all of that? And I know in our coaching, often we're going right back to those basic things as a starting point to say, let's make sure we're unified. Let's make sure that we've communicated, as you indicated, Ray, that there aren't assumptions that are being made on both sides. Oh, I thought you understood that this is how I think.
Oh, yeah. Well,
guess what? I didn't understand
that. Oh, man. Right? Do you have any stories where you and Arlene were like, oh, man, we are not on the same page on this?
I've got a story.
I'm putting you on the spot there, yeah. but I have some.
Well, I was just thinking something as simple as, I was meeting with a couple. It was one of our first meetings, and they had organized their finances. So they had been working on it. And essentially he said, I do all the organizing. And I give X number of dollars to my wife, and she manages those things. And she's covering groceries, and she's covering some of the kids' expense. And so he had it very clearly defined, this is the money that goes over, and this is the responsibility. Well, in the end, the tension between the two is she was trying to manage these things, and there just wasn't enough money. And so she couldn't communicate. Well, she was communicating back to him, but not in a way that he understood, because he's, of course, managing all the other things and says, well, that's the amount you get. And when we actually broke it down and we started to get together, the realization, the aha moment in the meeting was, as he realized that there's no way she can manage all the groceries, all the gas, all the expenses that I was expecting her to do. Like, there's not enough money. And it took us a little bit of navigating that. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, now we have to reorganize the whole thing. And to me, that was the in a sense, they were almost unified, but they weren't hearing each other. So they were, again, not connecting. That's one of the examples I thought of right away. So I
don't know, Ray, if you have any, I have moments with David where he is an outside processor. So early in our marriage, he'd come and I'd think the decision was made, and then he'd walk away and he goes, no, I never agreed to that. I'm like, but you said, even not around money, but like, if we're our social organizing, I thought you said you wanted to go here. Well, no, I never said that. I'm like, yeah, you did say it. So over the years I've had to realize, oh, okay. So Serena heard him say once, because he didn't say no, that he was going to build her a hobbit house. And I had to come in with the hard truth days later. He's not building you a hobbit house. Well, you go back to him. He doesn't want to say no to you. So we had to learn how he communicated and how he's processing. And he's thinking, he's like, oh, I don't, that might be a possibility to build her a hobbit house. So And it happens in our finances too, similar ways. So I just like, okay, we haven't made the decision yet, right? No, let me think about it. Okay. Like, that's good. So I don't know if you have any of those.
You know moments. What? The one that comes to mind is that Arlene loves to play with Facebook Marketplace or Kijiji, you know, and to sell stuff or to buy stuff. And so it's a little bit of fun for her and that kind of stuff. But early on, when she first started doing that, you know, sometimes things would go out and be she'd give me a little sticky and say, can you e-transfer this amount of money there? Okay. It's so that I e-transfer the money. And then I would see people come to the door and pass her cash. And it's like, so honey, money's going out, but money doesn't come back in sometimes. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it goes into the cash pot. So I had to clarify with her what her thinking was about that.
Right.
And that really was kind of her play money. And so we had to have a discussion then, because there was assumptions. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Is this money going into the household fund? Or what are you thinking about this money?
I
know.
And then I realized that there is a stash. There is a stash someplace. I have no access and I have no idea where it is. But it is her money to play with. And then every once in a while, she has surprised me because there's suddenly a major need. And then suddenly she'll come up with all this cash. She's done that two or three times over the years. And suddenly, like, you know, sometimes a few $100 that they've like, okay, I'm not going to say anything any further. So it was just like, I need to have grace to do that and just kind of build a little bit of margin into our budget for that.
For the expenditures that are coming out with e-transfers. Isn't that interesting? And I like, I guess, you know, as we move towards the end of the show, we're not quite there yet, but how do we encourage people to get on the same page? Like, we want people, like, you're playing, if you're a couple, you're playing it collectively. Like, we teach it all the time in some of our seminars is that if the enemy can come after our marriages with like adultery and in-laws, as the stats go, you know, he's doing it with money. But when we allow that money to come in like a wedge between us, then we can also see how important it is that we're on the same page financially. If we're such a target in relationship with our behavior and conversation around money, what could God do if we're united? What would God do with unity? What would he do with the kingdom in our families if we're on the same page? But how do we get to play the same game and do that as a collective and not just individual?
Well, and I think Ray started with the scripture, and I think, you know, very appropriate, you know, recognizing that, you know, that it is better with two. Like, again, in this individual culture and society, it's like, okay, we're our own little, you know, and then going, okay, well, what is that two? Is that the couple or is this two families working together? Mm-hmm. I think the principle stands the same. But obviously, you know, with two of you getting on the same page, being able to communicate, you know, thinking about my favorite quote from George Bernard Shaw, the illusion around communication is that it's actually happened. That's, I think, the version there. And I'm going, okay, yeah. So, you know, looking at that and slowing everything down and saying, okay, and Reb, you do this with me quite often. So did we make that decision? Are we on the same page? Let's not make assumptions, right? I think assumptions are one of the, oh yeah, we talked about that. And it's like,
it's no, what you
I
said.
Talked about yeah. it. You listened and you didn't feedback.
And right? I've heard her ask you that question.
Yes. And so I think that like we do have that, you've mentioned it already, to slow down. So there's a tip, like to slow down, like, okay. Cause we do notice people coming with their financial stuff to our office. It's just frantic. And so we're trying to keep ourselves as the recipients of that at a slow pace. Like, okay, let's just slow down because it feels frantic. It's stress. Stress feels very, I mean, I know what that feels in my own life. So slowing yourself down, but then listening is so important. It's one of the keys to communication. What are you saying? And using language like, this is what I'm hearing you say. Like, I want to save for retirement, Dave, but I'm hearing you say that you don't really care. And we're going to get to, you know, 68 years old and we're going to be looking at each other and thinking, what are we going to do? Like, Is that
what we have kids for?
Is that okay? See, and then I'd have to say, what do you mean by that? Because I like we have to ask questions. We have to repeat back what we're actually hearing, because what we're hearing may not be what you're saying to me. So, you know, slowing down, listening, repeating back. Like, are we actually on the same page about this?
Yeah. And of course, doing that in an environment that's safe, that again, it's that, and I love the verse because it's, there's got to be a foundation for coming together, right? Like that foundationally, you want to say, yes, we are pulling together. This is why we were looking for that oxen verse, yeah. Because we're like, you know, you got the picture of two oxen pulling together and they are pulling together to do some work. And if one is not pulling, if one is, you know, I think we did find a verse, don't hook an oxen to a donkey.
Yeah. Right?
You know, like that one is a great picture of like, don't do that because that is not going to go well. It's just not going to go well. Yeah. Right. So.
I just keep thinking of an analogy you use to the basketball game. Every time you go into the game, you just don't position yourself. You huddle. You get instructions. You get strategy. You have a coach who's there keeping an eye on. You're doing your bit. I think what we talked about, the whole part about communication, communicate. Mm-hmm. Say it. And I think that's one of the key things. And I, you know, once again, I just talk about a coach. You know, the coach sees the larger picture in the intensity of the game. Sometimes it's nice to have somebody who's observing from the sideline, speaking your lives. And I guess I'm saying I appreciate you guys because in some senses, I feel like you've been a coach and Arlene in my life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those comments come out. You challenged me the other day again about something. And it was like, if we open up our lives to those who are close to, mm-hmm. then in this area, mm-hmm. then they can speak into it. Mm-hmm. And there is incredible fruitfulness as a result of them.
And just recognizing that we are going to fall down. And a coach will help lift you up. Your partner is there to help lift you up. Your team, your family is there. And just saying, you know what, I'm not going to do it correctly or however I think I should be even. I'm going to fall and I need your help. Like, Dave, I need your help because I'm going to make mistakes sometimes. And can we just be that for each other is also.
And maybe as a last comment, you know, and when you have that environment, there is the, and we'll all get there together. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, sometimes you miss the shot. Yes, sometimes we feed it and it goes well. And sometimes, oh, no. Okay, well, we get to give another kick at the can because there is always the next
play,
the next game.
And yeah, right. That's the right.
Analogy there. So, Lord, we do thank you mm-hmm. that you walk beside us and you put people around us that that feed into our lives, that encourage us, that pull us out of the ditch, and you put people around us that just love us for mm-hmm. who you've created us to be. And so thank you for that this morning in Christ's name.
All right.
Thank you, Ray, for
being here. Thanks, Ray.
No, it's good to be with you guys again.
Yeah, you yes. too.
And of course, thank you to Not Mine CA mm-hmm. for and Financial Discipleship Canada for sponsoring today's show. Thank you, the listener. We wouldn't be doing this if we didn't hear from you and all the feedback. And thanks, Reb, for keeping me on track.
Back at you.
Awesome. Join us next time when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.